Welcome to NHL Draft Class presented by Adidas. The countdown is on to the 2019 NHL Draft. We'll have all your information on all the top prospects. I'm Adam Kimmelman here with Mike Morial. Mike, how are things?
Everything's going great, Adam. Had my two cups of coffee this morning. I am raring to go.
Awesome. Now, you had the luck to talk to Jack Hughes, the projected to be the number one pick of the NHL Draft. He is home. Now he's heading back to Slovakia. He was in Sweden for the World Under-18s. Came home for a few days. Now he's back to Slovakia for the World Championship.
Yeah, and they're actually in Germany right now. They play Germany in a pre-tournament exhibition that's going to take place before they play the actual tournament, which begins on Friday. But yeah, Jack is really excited. He's looking forward to this. Obviously, after the U18s, he told me that it was a little bit disappointing that they played for the bronze medal. They weren't playing for the gold medal. But they had a 15-medal streak going into that game. So obviously, Coach John Wroblewski gave the pregame speech. Look, boys, this is USA. You're playing for the crest on the front of the jersey. We want to make it 16 medals in a row at this tournament at the U18s. Jack took that to heart as the captain of the team. Went out there, scored a pair of goals and assists, did what he needed to do against Canada, and they won that game 5-2 to bring home a bronze and a 16th straight medal at the U18s. That U18 club was outstanding, but Jack did say that the thing that he'll miss most about the team is just doing the off-ice activities with those guys. You know, you create friendships, you create bonds. A majority of that team were players from the NTDP who we know well. Maybe 6-7 of these players are going to go in the first round of this draft this year. But Jack was very grateful he was able to play a part in a bronze medal, bringing home another medal. Now he goes to World Championship to play with the Patrick Kanes, the Johnny Gaudreaus, all these fantastic players that, you know, growing up, he idolized. So right now he's on a line with Alex DeBrincat, who a lot of people compare to Cole Caulfield, who might go in the first round, and James Van Riemsdyk. So you got Hughes centering Van Riemsdyk and Alex DeBrincat. That's going to be something to watch.
Well, that's certainly going to be fun to see. And then, you know, hopefully he's going to jump on the ice with Patrick Kane. That would be fun to watch. You know, you look at their kind of skill set, and there's so many similarities, I think, between Hughes and Kane and the vision and the skating and the skills, and it's going to be a treat to see him on that level. And it's a little bit of a preview for what we're going to see next season, assuming he's in the NHL, and he's going to play for John Hines, who's an assistant on that team. John Hines, a coach of New Jersey Devils, who have the first pick in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. And I asked Jack if he did meet up with John Hines and speak to him a little bit. He said, yeah, because Hines, he just came in over the weekend. So they touched base. They talked a little bit. But you can guarantee that, you know, John Hines is watching Jack Hughes' every move during practices to see what type of player he could potentially get. And let's not forget, Adam, this could also be a preview here of a match we might see later in the NHL between if the Devils do select Jack Hughes and if the New York Rangers with the number two pick take Kapokako of Finland. So that's going to be something to watch. That'll be May 13th, Finland against the United States at the World Championship.
And you can see all the U.S. games from the World Championship live on NHL Network. But to talk more about the top European prospects for the 2019 draft, let's bring in Goran Stubb, the NHL Director of European Scouting, joining us on the phone all the way from Finland. Goran, thank you for coming on NHL Draft Class presented by Adidas. How are you doing today?
Thank you very well. Thank you.
Goran, thanks so much for joining us. A real special opportunity for us to get you on NHL Draft Class this week. We all know about the amount of work and detail that goes into putting together the players to watch list, the midseason rankings and final rankings. Can you describe, Goran, the process from your end in Finland, the number of full-timers you have reporting to you, and how you go about putting together the international lists?
Well, we have a kind of a team which has been with me, most of them, for 20 years. So we are scouting the main countries like Czech, Slovakia, Switzerland, Germany, Sweden, Finland, Russia, Denmark, Norway, and Finland, of course. And we mainly meet at the various international tournaments, as there are kind of four or five nation tournaments with the top contests involved. So we meet during these tournaments, discuss different players, and then we slowly start to make the rankings, and then we just, then in April or end of March, we just put the final list together, and then we start all over again. So we have already been at Five Nation tournament in Switzerland, where we were scouting next year's group, the 2002 born players.
Mm. It's a lot of work, but you do a fine job. But what is it about number one Capo Caco? Everyone wants to know, Warren, that leads you to believe that he'll be a future NHL star.
Well, the future will tell if he's going to be a star or not, but in my opinion, he will definitely play in the National Hockey League, and I think he's ready to play there next year. He's a very mature young man. He is very, very enthusiastic about his hockey. He has a great winning attitude. And this season, he was already playing for the second year with and against men. And he's ending this season playing for Finland at the World Championship starting on Friday in Slovakia.
Goran, for a lot of people who haven't maybe seen Kakko play, you've probably seen him. You're based in Finland. Kakko plays for TPS in Liiga, the top league there. Is there an NHL player that you can compare him to that fans could maybe see, oh, if I watch this guy, I'll kind of have an idea of the style of play and the strengths of Kakko's game?
Well, I would say the closest might be another Finn, Mikko Rantanen with Colorado. They both come from Turku. They're both raised by the same club, TPS. TPS has quite a good reputation of raising young players. Saku and Mikko Koivu are from there, just for an example.
I know Kakko has played center and wing for TPS this season, Warren. Do you see him more as a productive wing in the NHL?
Well, that of course depends what the team drafting him, what they need. I think it's up to the coach and the team management to decide whether they play wing or center. He can play both.
Goran, I know you said you think Kakko could maybe make the jump to the NHL next season. He's going to play in the World Championship. Will that give you a sign of how ready he possibly could be by how he performs at the World Championship, where he's playing with and against some of the same guys he's going to see in the NHL?
Yeah, I definitely think he's ready to play next year. I mean, I would be very surprised if he's not playing, because, as I said, he's a very mature young man and he's an excellent young hockey player.
Two Sweden-born defensemen I'd like to touch on, Goran. Viktor Soderström of Brynäs in the Swedish Hockey League is number 3, and Filip Broberg of AIK in Sweden's second division is number 5 on the list. Each player won a gold medal for Sweden at the World Under-18 Championship. Soderström did play only 4 games after sustaining that concussion against Russia, but he should be fine for the start of his season in the SHL next year. How are Soderström and Broberg different, besides the fact Soderström is a righty and Broberg a lefty?
Well, Broberg is perhaps a rawer prospect. He's very strong. He's an excellent, excellent skater. He's flying on ice. Soderström is more of a finesse type of player. So there's quite a big difference between the two. So here we come again. It's up to the team drafting what they need. One is Broberg is the skater. Söderström is more of a playmaker and finesse type of player. But both have also that advantage that they played the full season senior hockey.
Goran, looking at the Russian prospects, Vasily Podkolzin, the forward, is number 3 on the final ranking of international skaters. What stood out about his game? You know, when I've seen him, he looks like a strong power forward, but you watch at the World Juniors and the World Under-18s, and they were good maybe but not great. Does he a guy that, as you watch him, you can see the talent, but you're kind of always hoping for a little bit more out of him? Or what have you liked about Podkolzin this season?
Well, Podkolzin is a fantastic team player. He's the captain. He was the captain for Russia Under-18 the whole season. And he showed his offensive talent at the Linka tournament in Edmonton in August, 8 goals, 3 assists in 5 games. Then during the season, he also showed that he is an excellent two-way player. He takes very big responsibilities in the defensive play, and he is a power forward. He is an excellent skater, and he is a leader. He takes very, very good care of his defensive duties. Then, of course, with him, he didn't score too many points, neither at World Junior Under-20 nor Under-18. But he can definitely score, and he's also a good playmaker. He played most of the season kind of junior hockey or on the St. Petersburg 2 team. And so he didn't play as much senior hockey as did, for instance, Kakko.
Yeah, keeping with the Russian skater theme here, Goran, there are two players among the top 10 international skaters who played for Yaroslavl in Russia's minor league. Left-handed defenseman Danil Misiul, who began his career as a forward. I remember speaking to you about this earlier in the season. He's number 8 on the list, had 4 goals, 10 points in 46 games before being promoted to Lokomotiv in the KHL for 3 games. So to start off there, what type of player is Misiul at 6'3", 176 pounds?
He's big, he's strong, he plays with a lot of confidence, and he's physical. He's not afraid of challenging older opponents. When you said that he played 3 games for Yaroslav in the KHL, that's true. That was regular season. But then he played regular in the playoffs, 6 games in the playoffs. And he was involved there in a couple of fights. He's a tough guy. He's actually white Russian. He's born in Minsk, but he's playing for Russia. Very good two-way player.
Wow. A left-handed center, Ilya Nikhailov, 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's number 9 in the international ranking. I know he played 41 games for Loko, had 25 points, including 10 goals, and he also had a good playoff as well, 8 points in 6 games, 5 goals. What do you see in Ilya's game?
He's not very flashy. You have to look for him, but his hockey sense is fantastic. He's also a very, very useful two-way player, team player. He's a playmaker and passer. He has very smart decisions on ice. And as I said, he's not flashy, but he makes all the small things right.
Hey, Goran, Germany's not really a place you look to find top-end, first-round type prospect. But Moritz Seider, the defenseman, how do you compare him to a prospect playing against higher-level competition in Sweden or Finland? Or, you know, those guys are playing, a guy like Kakko was playing at the World Juniors, whereas Seider, because he plays for Germany, is playing at the lower level. How do you compare those guys, apples versus oranges? And does he have to do more to stand out?
May I correct you a little bit there? Germany was Olympic silver medalist in the last Olympics. They have had some very good world championship tournaments, and the German league is a very, very good league. So a lot of very good players there. And Moritz Seider, he also played the whole season in the German league. His team, Mannheim, are German champions. And tonight, Germany is playing their final exhibition game before the World Championship starts. And Seider is on the team. So depending on how he's playing today, he might also play for Germany at the World Championship, which is pretty nice if we have 3 2001-born players in the World Championships. I mean, huge.
Well, when you've watched Seider, what have you liked about his game? What stood out about him?
His passing, his hockey sense, and he's very strong. He's not overly physical, but he's tough enough, both along the boards in front of the net, and his hockey sense is exceptional.
Goran, again, thanks so much for joining us today. This has been fantastic information. One more from me. I know you began working as the chairman of IFK Helsinki from 61 to 75 before serving as director of the Finnish Ice Hockey Association in 76. You began a European sports service, which was actually a European scouting service in 83. And then following a conversation you had with Jim Gregory, who was the then director of NHL Central Scouting. You were brought aboard to help out with Central Scouting and have done such a marvelous job. Can you talk about those early years, Goran, and your love of the game?
Well, of course, to get an offer, we got it together with my good friend Esko Paltonen, who then passed away very quickly. But we got started together, and of course it was a new challenge and to work in Europe for the National Hockey League. And the first years were really, if you compare them today, let's say the first international tournament I was at was in April 84, and it was then called the European junior under 18. There were six NHL scouts at that tournament, including me, then guys like Neil Smith, Marcel Johnson, Lars-Erik Sjöberg, Neil Armstrong, etc. Now, 2 weeks ago, at World Junior under 18 in Sweden, there were 250 scouts attending. So that's the big difference in 35 years. So the interest for European hockey has grown.
That's amazing. Thanks, Goran, for joining us on NHL Draft Class presented by Adidas.
Thank you.
That was Goran Stub, NHL Director of European Scouting, joining us. Michael, where do you want to start with some of the things Goran said? I like, you know, Kaapo Kakko. He thinks he's, you know, we've said we think he's NHL ready as soon as next season. Goran, far more experienced than we have. He's in agreement, you know, that he can come right to, let's just say it's going to be the Rangers, because we all think they're going to take him with the number two pick. He's ready to come over and I would think jump right into a top six spot.
Yeah, I agree, Adam. You know, big physical winger, and he can also play center. He played center maybe about a dozen games, you know, for TPS this year. And he excelled in that position. I spoke to some of the coaching staff over at TPS this year, and they told me that he was a fine center. When they had injuries, you know, Kaapo was the player that they thought of to put in those spots, and that's what he did. I mean, he played a top six role for that team, earned over 18 minutes a game in the regular season. And let's face it, Adam, the kid is 18 years old. He was the youngest player on a team that averaged 25.43 years in age. He led the team in the playoffs, 4 goals in 5 games. You know, he averaged over 20 minutes a game in the playoffs as well. So this is a kid that, in Liga, playing against men that are so much more experienced and older, he was able to produce big time for that club. So there is no question, and I know we both agree that this is a player that's going to play in the NHL next year. And if it's with the Rangers, that'll be great, because then we have more of a rivalry even more, you know, with the Rangers and the Devils, and the Islanders are upcoming now. We saw what they did in the playoffs. So the metropolitan area is getting really exciting.
Yeah, I think at 6'2 and 195 pounds thereabouts for Kakko, I think he's perfect to fit on the wing. You look there, the Rangers have rebuilt through the middle. Elias Andersson, Filip Hedl, and Brett Howden. It's a pretty good place to start. Now you start adding on the wings. They've already got guys like Chris Kreider there, veteran experience. Then you add a Kakko to that group. I mean, you're building, you can see the foundation in place for a really solid top six forward group.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I love, Goran, when he discussed, I asked him about the two Swedish defensemen on the board that could go relatively high. Only 21 Swedish-born defensemen have been drafted in the first round. And this year we could have as many as 3, including Soderstrom. Philip Broberg is in that mix as well. But 5 Swedish defensemen went in the first round last year. We all know Rasmus Dahlin going number one to the Buffalo Sabres. But I really like Soderstrom. 44 games playing for Brynäs in the Swedish Hockey League. And that says a lot about him, right, Adam? He's able to play against men, a young defenseman. That's a hard position to really, you know, gain some confidence, gain some traction. And he was able to do that in the Swedish Hockey League. You know, his offensive game is great, a dynamic puck carrier. But his defensive game, his decision-making was great all season long. And that the coaching staff had confidence in him for him to be able to play 44 games. A lot of people have compared him, when I've spoken to scouts, Drew Doughty-ish, not in the physical sense, but just in that stable, that consistent defenseman along the blue line that will always get the job done, a guy that you can rely upon, you know, game in, game out. Unfortunately, he was injured at the under-18s. Would have loved to seen him play in that final. But for the most part, I thought Soderstrom was one of the most improved Swedish hockey players from last year to this year, and I expect him to maybe go top 15 in the draft.
Yeah, Broberg's a guy I've liked since the beginning of the season. If you go back and you watch some of the plays he made at the World Under-18s, the speed, the skill, the hand, the puck handling, the way he there's a lot more flash in his game, but he's big and strong, and he plays well on his own end. He's a guy that I think we can all agree that Bowen Byram is the number one defenseman in this draft. Philip Broberg, I think, is a very close second. He's a guy that if you can get him in the top 10, he's a guy you can build your defense around. I think the skill is there, the size is there, the strength is there to play really well at both ends of the ice. So, you know, I think between Soderstrom and Broberg, I think if you're going to find a Swedish defenseman in the top 15 of this draft, you're going to do very well for yourself.
Broberg, and just, you know, recapping the U18s, which we did earlier too, you know, 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points, 20 shots on goal in the U18s, and he was named the best defenseman at the tournament. So certainly there's a lot of talent there, an offensive-minded guy like Goran was telling us. So both those defensemen, you're right on the mark, are going to go early in the draft.
We're going to have a lot more time to talk about the European prospects. Thanks again to Goran Stube, the NHL Director of European Scouting, for joining us. That's going to do it for NHL Draft Class presented by Adidas. You can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us at NHL.com/podcasts. And a reminder to check out NHL Executive Suite, NHL Fantasy on Ice. The NHL Podcast Network is on the rise. For Mike Morial,
always a pleasure.
I'm Adam Kimmelman. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate and review. Until next week, NHL Draft Class presented by Adidas is dismissed.